All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 12. 1 Timothy 1, 12. And let me just remind you, if your children are in the creche, I need you to get your children. When we're finished here, quickly go get your children. Walk through the ministry exhibition with them, because that will allow the creche workers actually to take their posts in and also be able to go around and see the different ministries. So make sure you get your children before you head over into the ministry exhibition. I didn't do it. All right. 1 Timothy 1:12, a very powerful verse, goes along with the ministry theme and the service theme this month. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." This month has been set aside to get every believer in our church busy serving the Lord. Busy doing something, busy doing some ministry. Most of us already are busy, but most are not serving the Lord. We're busy serving lots of things, but do we serve the Lord? A Christian's life is one of good works. Paul actually said, "Be not weary in well-doing." So you should be at the point of being weary, amen, trying to do right, trying to do good. But this thing of the Christian life is not a life of blessing. I'm glad any Christian in here who's been saved very long at all is going to quickly admit, "I'm blessed." Amen? There's not a one of you. If you're saved, you know you're better off than the day you're better off than any day when you were lost. And we're not here in this life to just reap the blessings, even though we are blessed. Jesus saved us to serve. That's the point. And Paul thanks God for giving him a ministry. He thanks God for making him a servant. Amen. The question is, how does a Christian find a place in ministry? How do you find this place? Do you wait for some cosmic headhunter to come to your door and say, "I think you would be great doing such and such"? How do you find this place where you're supposed to be serving the Lord? Now, I want to make it very clear. Whenever you work in the creche, whenever you help out in teaching Sunday school, I want to make it very clear, whenever you're running the video camera and recording the messages, whenever you're helping in any area, you're serving the Lord. You may have to deal with people. You may have to encourage a lot of people. You may have to be there for them at all hours. You may have to do a lot of planning and preparation for a Sunday school activity or a church picnic. You may have to do loads of work, but you are serving only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you're serving, amen? Jesus said, when you do simple, kind things to the least, you're doing it unto me, Jesus said. Remember that? You're doing it unto him. Let's see if we can find some guidance this morning on how to find a place to serve our Lord. Father, please bless this message. Help me help these people today. Thank you that you put me in the ministry. There's nothing that I don't love doing. God, I just love serving you, God. I love teaching Sunday school. I love working in RU. I love driving the bus. There's nothing that I wouldn't do because it's all for you, Lord. And I get to do it every day of the week. I get to do it all the time. Not everybody feels ready to do that, Lord. Not everybody feels qualified. Not everybody feels able. Not everybody feels like they want to. Today, I pray that you get our hearts and that we want to do something. that we're willing to say, God, make me a servant. I'm tired of being a slave. I want to serve now. Lord, I pray that you would bless our study in the Word of God and that you would bless all the different ministries that are going on right now, all the different the Sunday school classes. God, just bless our study in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the summary of the Christian's life is found in two very simple verses back in Philippians, in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where we will spend most of our time. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. verse 19. We'll also read verse 22, and especially looking at the last sentence of verse 22, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you're in Titus, you go back a few books and you'll hit Corinthians. If you went to Matthew, you went too far. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. Watch how Paul summarizes the Christian life. He says this, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself," underline these three words, "servant of all, that I might gain the more." Run down to verse 22. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I," here's his summary again, "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Now, can you win the whole world to Jesus Christ? No. But you can win some. And I guarantee you, we can win more than we currently are. We can actually win. Sometimes you kind of get content with, you know, a few people getting saved here, a few people getting saved there. Are you content with 2,000 dying a year here in Cork? They die by the droves. Should we be satisfied with just seeing some people saved in dribs and drabs? Now, I'm not here telling you that we can do win 10,000. I'm not putting a number on it. I'm just saying we can do more. And Paul says, "I want to do all things that by all means I can win some." Amen. Would that be your prayer? I find four things in there we're going to talk about this morning. First of all, the summary of the Christian's life is he's free. Amen. He's free. "I'm free from all men," he says. Secondly, he says, "I'm flexible." "I become anything to anyone I meet. I just don't ride in this ivory. I don't live in this ivory tower and ride on this fancy horse. I don't do all these things to show off. I come down to where people are at, and I reach them where they're at. I'm flexible." Third thing, he says, "I'm focused." He's not doing it to make an empire. He's not doing it to show off. He's doing it that by all means he can win somebody to Jesus Christ. That's his focus. That's his goal. That's the reason for living. And then the fourth thing, he's faithful. He doesn't play around. He uses an illustration. We're going to see it. He says, nobody joins a race to quit. Amen. When you start serving the Lord, it is for one purpose, to win somebody to Jesus Christ, and then to go out and win somebody else, and then go out and to do it faithfully till he comes. Amen. Faithful. Let's start here where to find this place of service. The first way to find a place of service is by being made free from all men. This is a powerful concept and a powerful truth I want to develop this morning. Let's read again our verse, verse 19. "For though I be free from all men." Now, when he starts there, he tells you right there that Paul was a free man. He was a natural born citizen of Rome. He had a coveted freedom. The world at that day, the Western world, was controlled and dominated by the Roman Empire. Most of them were not free. Most of them had to pay exorbitant taxes. Most of them, if a Roman soldier came along and commanded them to carry their gear, they had to carry it for a mile. Most of them, if somebody looked at them wrong and they got angry back, they could be thrown in jail because they were treated as objects, as slaves, all across the empire. But Paul was a free-born Roman citizen. He had rights. He had guaranteed protections as a Roman citizen. He was free to move around anywhere in the Roman Empire. He was not, one time they grabbed him, they thought he was just a Jew, and they magistrates grabbed him and beat him and threw him in prison. And the next day he announced, he says, "Are you supposed to treat Roman citizens that way?" And they got terrified because he had rights. He was a free man, but he's not talking about that kind of freedom. He had a better kind of freedom, folks. That kind of freedom is not worth boasting about. Paul had been made free. Free, let me give you the list. Free from the dominion of all men. Free from the dominion of all sin. Free from the dominion of all powers. Except one. The power of his Lord over his life. He was a truly free man. You know, there's one thing. I know people who are terrified. They live in fear of man. They're fear of what their friends will say. They're fearful of what their friends will think. They're fearful of what their mom's going to say. They're fearful when they try to do something for God, I'm talking about. You ought to be afraid of what your mom's going to say if you're doing wrong. Amen? You ought to be afraid of what your wife's going to think if you're watching something wrong. You ought to be afraid of those kind of things. But there are people who are afraid of what their mother's going to think if they're in a church reading the Bible. There are people who are afraid. They live in fear of man. It's wonderful when you're free from that. Amen? To be free from all men would be the desire of everyone on this planet. How priceless is this freedom? Did you know, if you're saved this morning, that according to 1 Corinthians 6, you used to be a slave to your sins? Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go back a few pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. I love how the Bible tells us as it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Oops, they're out. No heaven. Sorry. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They're not getting in. But I love how verse 11 does not say, and such are some of you recoverers. No, watch me. It doesn't say, and such are some of you recovering adulterers, or recovering drunkards, or recovering fornicators. It doesn't say that, does it? Amen? Read your Bible. It says, and such were some of you. You see, he talks about it like we're free. Such were some of you. But ye are washed. Amen? I ain't perfect, but I'm clean. Amen? I've been washed not in my own righteousness, but in the shed blood of somebody who didn't deserve to die. Somebody who shouldn't have had to have died, and yet he willingly gave his life. And when he stood before Pilate, he says, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down freely." And when he did that, and that blood was shed, it was shed to wash away all of my sins. Ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. You know, put the word there, holy. Somebody says, "Where are the saints?" They meet in Ballincollig at 10:30 and 7:00 on a Sunday. Where are the saints? That's where the word saint comes from. Sanctify. You are a saint. Saint Lily. Saint Celine. Saint Nisha. Saint Nita. Saint Dennis. Amen? You are sanctified. Say, "Well, I don't do any miracles." You don't have to do any miracles. You just need a miracle. That's what makes you a saint, is being born again. You're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. You're pardoned. You're forgiven in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The truth is, if you are born again this morning, you used to be a slave to your sins. You used to be a slave to this world. You did whatever they said to do on television. If it said cornflakes was the thing to eat for breakfast, you ate cornflakes. If they said sugar puffs, you bought sugar puffs. If they said wear Nike, you bought Nike. You're a slave to the world. Your kids are. Don't you look at me laughing. Your kids tell you what to do because they're enslaved to the fashions of this world. And you're enslaved to them. Oh, I don't want to upset little James here. And there, you used to be a slave to the devil. You thought you were your own man. I remember telling my dad when I started letting my hair grow, and I let it grow. You know how it is. You know? And when I let my hair grow down beyond my shoulders, my dad said, "Why are you letting that grow? You're a long-haired hippie." That's what my dad said. I said, I want to be my own man. You know, I was lying because all my friends had long hair. I was following. I thought I was independent, but I was a puppet of the devil, instilling in rebellion to me. Why do you listen to that rock music? Because I am a puppet of the devil. That's what was going on. And then I got free. Amen. Amen. Paul was free. Are you free? Are you free?
Yeah. Right.
If you're saved, you're free indeed. I mean, you're really free. Just go to, you're in Corinthians, go to left, go to John. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. And I believe a slave. I'm not talking about, the Bible word is slave. He says a slave is a right word. That means you couldn't stop. You remember when you tried? Oh, I can handle it. You've been saying that for 15 years. You can't handle drink. You can't handle pornography. You can't handle adultery. You can't handle sin. Amen? Because once it gets into you, without the blood of Jesus Christ, without God intervening in your life, you're its slave again. Amen? But if you're slave, but if you're free, if you're saved this morning, look at John 8:32. When you know the truth shall make you free. You know, I love it how it doesn't say set you free. Amen. The New Bible says set you free. You know, you can set a bird free and that bird be captured again. I was made free. Amen. Go on, verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. These are the Pharisees talking. They're trying to boast about their lineage. And said, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Because Jesus is telling them they were in bondage. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth even the smallest sin. Notice he doesn't say committeth adultery. Do you notice that? We think, well, I never have murdered anybody. I'm not a sinner. Look at the Bible. The Bible says, whosoever commits sin tells that little white lie. You're now servant to that lie. You ever notice when you tell a lie, you know what you do? You have to tell another lie to cover for that lie. Then you have to tell another lie. Then you have to remember the lies that you told. And you have to tell a lie. Well, I wasn't quite telling the truth there. And you have to tell another lie. You become a slave to that white lie. Whosoever committed any sin, I don't care what it is a servant of sin. Amen. Verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. You may be around for a while, but you won't stay around forever. But the Son abideth forever. You want to get in and live forever? Trust Jesus Christ. Look at that capital S. He's forever, amen. You're right. Well, I don't sin very much. One sin and you're out. One son and you're in. Amen? Go on there, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free. Again, it's not me that's making myself free. The Son, if He makes you free, you're really free. You're free indeed, amen? If you're going to find a place of service, you're going to have to get free. Let me make it real plain. Most people have lived their lives as slaves. They act like no one owns them, but in reality, the bank owns them. Their wife owns them. Their children own them. Their boss owns them. Their friends own them. Their own fears own them. And their bad habits own them. You know, smoking is a slave driver. Drinking is a cruel master. Fear is a tormentor. You know, if you got any kind of habitual sin that's sitting there plaguing you, I'd say, God, I want to be free. And I would pray and I'd get in that book and get washed by that blood and by the blood of Jesus Christ, by washed by the word. And I would say, God, I don't care how long it takes, but I want to be a free man. You know why? Not just so that you can be free. That's the beginning. You know why somebody, you know why this Christian wants to be free and stay free? So I can serve God. He did so much for me. I want to do something back. Amen? Amen? The freedom that Christ offers is real freedom. It's not religion. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a bunch of ceremonies, but a relationship. You know, some people say, oh, marriage. I like going out on dates. I like flirting with the girls, but I don't want to get married. Let me tell you, real marriage to a godly woman is freedom. Real marriage to a godly woman who loves God more than she loves you is exhilarating. There's more freedom there, and there's more liberty there. There's more fun there than there is playing all the fields, because there's disease out there. There's broken hearts out there. There's jealousy out there. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's something about real freedom. Not the freedom to do as you please, but the freedom to do something that's right that all of a sudden frees you. Amen. Free indeed. Like a best friend. Like a best friend. I'm talking about a freedom where you want to be with somebody. Amen. Nobody's putting a chain around your neck saying, you're going to church. There, now sit down next to them. Now you want to sit down next to them. Amen. This is a freedom. You know, most people don't think there's any kind of other life than what they already know. They think it's normal to be addicted to drink. They think Friday nights is only for drinking. Amen? They think friends are only for drugging. They think the TV is only for MTV and late night movies. Amen? That's all they think that they have. That's all they think there is to life. Let me make a point. Truth number one. God is not going to show you a place to serve unless you're a free man, a free woman, or a free teenager. Until you're free. Do you know if you're in debt up to your eyeballs and you've got 4 credit cards maxed out and you haven't paid on your mortgage in the last 9 months and your car's about to be repossessed, how free are you to come out on Saturday mornings and go soul winning? You can't. You got to work 3 jobs. You got to turn the telephone off so that nobody finds you and complains about not paying your bill. You have to run and hide from all the debt collectors. You're not free. But when you get that debt managed and under control and paid off, you are a... You understand what I'm saying? You're a free man. You can serve God now. You can't serve God while the devil keeps telling you to get more in debt. You can't serve God while the devil keeps telling you you can mess around and dabble in sin. You can't until you're free. Amen?
Amen.
You see how important it is? Why do we preach so much about getting saved? Because you ain't free until you're born again and until you're wanting to go a different direction, until you're becoming man enough to pay your bills, until you're becoming woman enough to control your spending, until you become mature enough as a teenager to say to your friends, I'm not going there anymore because I want to be free. Anybody mad yet? God's not going to show you a place to serve until you're a free man or a free woman or a free teenager. Amen. Second point. Back to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Still read verse 19 again. Down to verse 22. To find a place of service requires you and me to be flexible as a servant, not as the boss. What do I mean by that? Look at 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19. He says, for though I be free from all men, point two, he says this. Yet have I made myself servant unto all. Look what he said. He said, I made myself a servant, not the boss. Let's keep reading. That I might gain the more. Verse 20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew. That I might gain the Jews to them that are without the law, that's a Gentile, they don't have a Bible, as I live as under the law. To them that are under the law, talking about the Pharisees, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, they're the Gentiles, as without law, being not without law to God, though. I don't live lawless, you see the point. But under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I just see him just with passion and crying out saying, this is my life. Amen. What is he doing? He's flexible. Amen. Paul says, I made myself servant unto all. Listen, no one came along and put chains around his neck and his ankles. No one came along and whipped me into obedience. Amen? Not even God does that. You ever notice that? You ever watch a Christian, they get saved, and they're excited, they come to church, and then you see them sneak back into sin? Do you ever see the Holy Spirit go in there and beat them to death? You wish He would. Amen? Now sin starts taking its toll on them again, but God doesn't. You ever wondered about that thing? See, God doesn't take us and say, you are going to do this. Sorry. I had a good grip on that, amen? Probably too good a grip. You know, no one binds my hands and forces me like a slave to stand up here and preach on Sunday morning. Huh? My wife does not get up there and preach. You know what Paul said? I made myself a servant. That's a powerful verse. Did you ever notice that verse? I made myself a servant. I did it. I chose to serve. And not just to serve people who are easy to please. It's easy to... Hey, how many of you like to work at Brown Thomas in the jewelry section? Oh, man. That'd be a great place to work because only people who have money will come to you and they'll gladly... Turn over. I'd like to buy that. Oh, I'd like to buy that. Oh, I'd like to buy that. Man, it'd be easy. How'd you like to work for Argos? It's not the right size. Do you have another one in another color? Oh, this is the wrong size box. Can you wrap it for me? And, oh, this is too expensive. Can I bring this back? And, amen? Amen. Listen, we're talking about I made myself servant unto all, even the hard people to work with. Amen? Amen? Hope nobody works at Argos. I'm sorry. Listen, the list of adaptations, his flexibility is endless. He says to the Jew, I became a good Jew, man. When I was talking to a Jew, I was his equal. When I dealt with the Pharisees, I went head to head with them. They says, do you keep this? Do you do that? And he's, I kept the law to win that Pharisee. He did one time. He was going to go and try one more time to witness to the Jews in the temple. And you can't go into the temple as a Christian and as just any old way. You know what he did? He shaved his head so that he would take a vow as a Jewish Nazarite. And he went in every jot and every tittle of requirement in order as a good practicing Jew to go into the temple so he could sit down and so that he could witness to the Jews and tell them they missed the Messiah. You say, is he crazy? No, he's passionate. He was willing to do what it took so that one more time they would hear the gospel. Do you have to shave your head and grow long hair to keep a Nazarite vow? No. But I read about a man named Hudson Taylor who went to China back 200 years ago, back when it was impossible. And he sat down there, and for months on end, he tried to witness those people, tried to get them to hear the gospel. He learned the language, the old Chinese language, and he tried his best, and nobody would listen. They passed right by him. You know what he decided to do? He took off his tie. He took off his white shirt. Took off his shoes. Walked around barefoot. Put on a normal outfit like everybody else did. Clean. And he let his hair grow and put it back in a tail. And he stood up there, and when he spoke, he learned how to speak with an accent, not as an Englishman, which he was. He learned how to speak like the Chinese, and when he stood up, they stopped and they listened to him. What was he doing? What he had to get him saved. Amen. You wear long hair here, you're not going to be in any of our ministries. But if you're in China, you may have to wear... Get your hair long, wear it in a ponytail, so they listen to you. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? Because they're worth it, amen? And Paul says, right. I'm not going to stand up here, hard-nosed, I'm not going to do that. Would you realize they're going to die and go to hell if you don't come down and deal with them at their level? Amen? He says, to the Gentile who is ignorant of God's laws, I became an equal. You know, the greatest thing you can say to a low-down, filthy scum bucket like me when I was lost is, meet a sinner. Amen. Saved by God's grace. Amen. I ain't no good. I ain't worthless. I ain't worth anything. I'm worthless. I've never been perfect a day in my life. I'm glad to meet another sinner. Amen. You know, when you're talking to an unsaved person, unsaved Gentiles, never read their Bible, never, they gave up trying to live right and perfect when they were 9 years old. And here you come along and say, well, you know, I haven't sinned in 15 years. You're not going to win them. Do you understand? You're going to have to look at them as a sinner and say, I'm still a sinner, but I'm forgiven. Do you see how it works? Are you flexible? Or do you live in this helicopter lifestyle? You know, oh, the people down there. Hello. He says, to the weak I became weak. I like that. I'm still learning that. I got a lot to learn. He says, I wept with them that weep. Amen? I don't sit there and say, get over it. Sometimes I do, and I need to work on it. Amen? But Paul says, when they were weak, I came right down there to their level. Amen? And wept. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you like it when somebody does that? He had people who feared eating meat. You know what he did? He ate a salad when he was with them. That is cool. Because he wanted to win them. To those who were discouraged, he was gentle and kind. He was flexible. How flexible are you? I'm not there yet. He was flexible. Paul explains in these verses that he allowed God to mold him into anything so that he could do anything to win anyone. Are you there yet? That's a servant's heart. What was Paul's first prayer? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Whatever you want. You know, Jonah should have prayed that prayer. Amen. Truth number two. God is not going to show you a place to serve unless you're willing to do whatever God asks you to do. Amen. Just sit and ponder on that. Are you willing to do whatever God asks you to do? Anything but the crash. Anything but teaching kids in Sunday school. I know they won't listen to me. It's not you they're trying to listen to. They're trying to listen to the story about Jesus. Amen? Are you willing to do anything? Are you willing to do anything? Third point. Let me make a point here before I get on. Paul, at the moment of his salvation, already was a brilliant linguist. He probably spoke seven languages fluently. He was an able speaker. He was a powerful motivator. He was a precise theologian. But none of that was what God needed for him to win the world. Did you hear what I said? Yep. He had abilities. He could have wrote books. He could have been a bestseller. A speaker par excellence. Whatever that means. Clem de la Clem. You know what God did? God made him, when he got up to preach his first message, he made his knees tremble. Amen. He says, I didn't come with excellency of words. Amen. I came with fear and trembling. And God did that to me so that it wasn't me anymore. It was him. Do you see, when you stand, well, I can't speak, neither can Moses. Well, I am terrified, so was Paul. And God made him that way. And God said, do it, Paul, so I get all the glory. Amen. Are you with me? Is anybody sitting here on the same frequency? Or are you watching Coronation Street in the back of your head? Amen. God fashioned him not into a powerful speaker, but into a powerful prayer warrior. I believe he motivated people more by prayer than he did by persuasive preaching and speech. Amen. God completely retrained this massive theologian. If anybody had an egghead, he did. He was so well trained by the greatest minds and the greatest teachings of Gamaliel. And there he was when he got saved. He didn't confer with man. He didn't talk to anybody. God said, we got some talking to do. And God took Paul to the backside of the Arabian desert and said, for the next 3 years, Paul, I'm going to start all over with you. You're going to relearn everything. Genesis 1:1, let's open up and let's start. And he had to start back in kindergarten. Amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Are you with me? What is, you say, I got to be well, but I'm not prepared. God will prepare you. I'm not able. That doesn't matter. He is. Amen. All right. I just wanted to get on that. I have so much to say. Let me make a point. I still want to say something else on this point. Don't go there. Come back. Don't misunderstand. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. You see, somebody, I know some Christians who say, well, you know, if I'm going to win people, I got to become like them. So you know what they do? They go to a bar, they go to a pub, and they act like they're drinking. And a few years down the line, you'll find them, they are drinking. And they think, well, you know, I'm sitting at the pub, and I want to win the guy next to me. So I got to act like I'm a drinker. in order to win the drinker. You do not. You love them where they're at. You talk to them at their level, but you never yourself live at their level. Do you understand that? Hey, no kid respects a 50-year-old man coming in and teaching Sunday school as a 5-year-old. No kid will respect you. They want you to talk to them at their level, but they want you to be an adult. Amen. And somebody sitting in that pub, and when you come in there, if you ever find yourself, and I don't recommend anybody doing it, maybe God tells you, go in there and get somebody. They're sitting in there. You need to talk to them. You need to do that then. But don't make a life out of it. Oh, I just go from pub to pub and win souls. Maybe there's a once off, twice off, you do that. But don't make it your life, because they're going to think you're like them. But if you ever deal with somebody, you talk plain and simple to the point. And if they're drunk, don't waste your time. But my point is, when you do, talk like a Christian. Tell them you're there to help them and love them where they're at. Don't sit there and say, well, you know, I'm going to, these are all the expectations of you. They're terrified of expectations. They just need to know somebody loved them and died for them and that they can be free. My point is, just because you've been, you've got this liberty now, don't use it to sin. Watch your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Look at verse 1. He says this, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But this is something that we have done since we've been saved. We have renounced. You know what that word means? Amen. We've dumped. We've rejected the hidden things of dishonesty. I'm not going to act like a drug addict. Amen? I'm not going to act like a rapper. Amen. You go to somebody and they're sitting there and they're bebopping and doing the flipping and stuff like that. Don't say, hey, I can do that too, man. Let me tell you about Jesus. You don't have to talk like a DJ or a rapper to win a rapper. You don't have to dress like a whore to win a whore. You don't have to act like a homosexual to win a homosexual. You don't have to flirt like an adulterer to win an adulterer. You don't have to steal alongside a thief to win a thief. Do you understand where I'm getting? We renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. You know, those people, you try to act the life like them. They know you're acting. Why don't you just be real? Amen. They want to see some reality, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Would you live the truth? Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Just say, look at my life. You know, Jesus ate with sinners, sat with sinners and talked with harlots, but he was not one of them. Do you understand? They just knew he loved them. Amen. Now let me get to my point. Third point. To find a place of service requires that I stay focused on my purpose. Back to, go to left, go back to 1 Corinthians 9, and the end of it, verse 22. The end of verse 22. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I want to talk to you about, Paul had some goals in sight. Look back there. He says there in verse 19, the end of it, that I might gain the more. Doesn't he say that? What am I doing? What I do? I do it that I might gain, that I might win a soul. Verse 20, that I might win, might gain the Jews, that I might gain them that are under the law. The end of verse 21, that I might gain them that are without the law. Verse 22 says that I might by all means save some. Why did he have such a specific purpose? Three reasons. Three very powerful reasons why any of us should serve God. Not because Pastor Craig tells you to. But first of all, because of the value of souls. What does Mark 8, verse 36, 37 say? Very simply, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains a whole world and loses his single soul? The whole world compared to your soul. What shall a man give in exchange? What can you find in this universe that is equal to the value of your soul? What is the value of the soul of that coworker you sit down next to, you work with, you talk with, and you've never yet once, not even invited them out to church, you've never once handed them a gospel tract and said, I want you to be saved.
I want you to be born again. I want you to understand. Read that leaflet. I'm going to ask you about it tomorrow. There's a test tomorrow. When are you going to take it up and say, my friends, my family are going to hell. They don't know how valuable they are to God. And for the first time in my life, they become valuable to me. Wow. Second reason, because of the price of sin. Romans 3:10, what does it say? There is none righteous. No, not one. Whoops. Does it mean we're all sort of just going to slide by? No. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. Then 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is what? Let me put it in Ezekiel 18. You know what God says? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And you know what? You know what? It doesn't say just die and it's over with. You know when he says that? Phew. The soul that sinneth, it shall die and die and die and die forever in a devil's hell. You know what hell is? It's you going to a place that was only meant for the devil. And you being in a place that should end your life and you can't die. Because when God made you, he made you eternal. And you could wish for all eternity that you would die, but you can't. Now, here's the point. No Christian, no real Bible-believing Christian wants anybody to go there. Amen? This is you preach on hell. Yeah, I preach on hell. So did Jesus. He preached more on hell than he did on heaven. And he preached there because he didn't want anybody to go there. Do you have any heart? We know they're going to go looking for one in Leo. But if you were to stand next to your friend, next to your mom, next to your brother, next to your child there, and just look at them and keep your mouth shut for the rest of your life and watch them die one day and say, well, I couldn't say anything. I'm going to tell you something. You should have, because of the price of sin. You know they're a sinner. They know they're a sinner. They just never knew there was a way out. I found out 28 years ago there's a way out. Amen? Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians to the right from 1 Corinthians. Get to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. Start in verse 3. Ephesians 5:3 says this, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting. You don't make fun with the unsaved, which are not convenient, but rather, what should you do? The giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, all of those sins, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Let me tell you this. God may be letting people get away with sin. God may be letting, you know, people do some horrible things, but it will not go on forever. He'll get them. Amen. Do you understand? The wrath of God does come. John the Baptist preached one of the strongest messages. He said this. He said, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And they were coming. No Christian wants anybody to go to hell. A Christian knows that God is right. God is holy. And God will judge this world because of its sin. But a Christian knows that there's a way to be forgiven. Amen. There's a way. Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. Say, I don't know the way. Jesus says, just know me. Because I'm the way. Amen. Amen. Point number three. God is not going to show you a place to serve unless you're hungering to win souls through a ministry. Say, you know what you could do? You could sit here all day. You could come to church every single week. You could sit in your house and go, I wish I was in a ministry. But until you're hungering to win a soul, you won't care what ministry you're in as long as it helps you win souls. Amen? God's not going to put you in a place of ministry until he sees you faithful to wanting to win souls. I don't want anybody to say, oh, I'll join the preaching ministry, Pastor, because I think I can do better than you. Probably could. But we don't need better preachers.
Amen? We don't need better Sunday school teachers, so to speak, better performers. Are you following me? Until you get to the place where you say, I want to preach to win a soul. I want to live my life for souls. Then God will say, I can use that person. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Last thing. To find a place of service requires me to be faithful unto the end. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Go back to the left real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 27. Paul gives a quick illustration. And then I'll go to the application and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery, to master is to accomplish something, is temperate, is controlled in all things. Now they, athletes, do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we do it, as Christians, do it to obtain what? An incorruptible crown. I, therefore, so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not wasting my time. What does our verse tell us there in 1 Corinthians 15:58? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? When you do something for God, there always is a payoff. And let me just say this. Again, I'll remind you of the verse in 1 Timothy 1:12 says, and I thank Jesus, Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Paul compares the Christian life to that of an athlete. And I said this already, but no one enters a race as a quitter. I can't wait to get out there and run so I can get off the field. And we have them. We have people who, oh, I love to teach Sunday school, but don't expect me to be there every Sunday. That's weird. If you start a race, guess what? You're supposed to finish it. So when we go in and you start looking at the ministry, be very afraid. Because God's going to say, that's the one. Not this one. Yes, that's not. No. And you know it's not, can I just try it? And if I don't like it? No. I'm going to tell you, when God moves on your heart, and I'm not going to tell you which one is your ministry, and you may not know which one is your ministry. That's why I'm telling you, try many doors. Try a different set of ministries. But one of them, God's going to say, that's the one. And when you get in, can I tell you, just dive in and just go. Get in the race. Run all the race. Amen? We need faithful men. We don't need performers. We need faithful women. We don't need polished professionals. We need faithful teenagers. Faithfulness. Only finishers have a chance to win the prize. Amen? They don't give runners up for quitters. You know there are rewards in heaven, aren't there? You probably haven't heard a message in a long time about those rewards, but there are going to be some very ashamed Christians in heaven because their mantles will be empty. Run as a faithful Christian, only serving the Lord. Let me just follow this up with an application. How can more people get saved here in Cork? Number one, get free yourself. Already said it. I'll say it again. You need to get free from sin's power by getting born again. You may be struggling with sin's presence, folks. You may be struggling with your friend knocking at your door or phoning you up. You may have to struggle for a long time with sin constantly trying to get your attention, but you can be free from sin's power. Amen? You better get born again. You need to ask God to make you free from debt by paying off your debts. You need to ask God to make you free from habits so that you can serve the Lord. I don't want somebody who's smoking a cigarette to try to teach our Sunday school kids. No. Amen. Do you understand? You say that's harsh. No. It's good. See how enslaved you are? You don't want that for a kid, do you? They're drinking earlier and earlier. They're trying to smoke earlier and earlier. There's a 12-year-old mother over there in England. There's a 12-year-old mother. We need to stop the cycle. And it stops with the adults taking responsibility and saying, I'm getting my life cleaned up so they don't see filth. They see somebody who's free. Free yourself. Secondly, make yourself a servant. What does that mean? Low. Make yourself lower. Now, Celine's already shorter. But I mean lower. You're not off the hook, Celine. Make yourself lower than other people. Other people can leave church early, right after church. Maybe some people need to stay around and help clean up. Amen. Make yourself a servant. Other people can walk in late. You come in early and start praying for every seat to be filled with a hungry heart and say, God, may every one of these chairs be filled with a sinner who wants to get saved, who wants to know God, help a Christian to get right with God here. Come here early instead of thinking that it doesn't matter. That's a ministry. Amen. Other people can stay in bed on Saturdays and be lazy all weekend. Some of you need to get up early and get things done or so that at 1 o'clock you're here for soul winning. Amen. Other people can sit and enjoy preaching week after week, and you instead start helping out and crashing in Sunday school saying, I'll miss out on that preaching so I can help in a ministry. Amen. You see how it works? Other people can complain about the church activities. Oh, church activity was on the wrong night. Oh, church activity wasn't the right day. Other people can complain about the church activities while you put your heart and your soul into preparing those things to be the best thing ever. Amen. Amen. Make yourself a servant. Other people can just come and go on a Sunday. You start opening your eyes and your ears and start looking for needs and see how to meet somebody's need every week. Maybe it just means sitting down next to somebody. Look around and see who's not sitting by somebody. Amen. Some of you are glued to the chair you've been sitting at for the last 8 years. Shame on you. We need to have a Chinese fire drill. You know what a Chinese fire drill is? I used to drive the Sunday school bus. My church, when I was in Bible college, we'd be driving along. It was, back then, it was legal. It's not now. We'd stop at a red light. And I'd scream, Chinese fire drill! And all the kids had to get out of the bus, run around the bus, and then come back in. They loved it. You say it's crazy. Yeah, it was. We had fun, but I'll never do it again. But we need to have a Chinese fire drill where everybody just gets up and trades places. Amen? Sit down next to somebody and minister to them. Amen? Amen. No holy kisses, though, okay? You'll get that in a moment. What kind of ministry can I get in, Pastor? Oh, don't do this. Come back up here. You can join the welcome ministry. You could actually be here early, make sure all the chairs are set up, and be ready and on the spot so that when somebody comes in, they've never been to church before, you just say, Hi, I'm Joseph. Welcome. And they go, oh, thanks. I feel welcome. That'll mean a lot to somebody. Can I get you a Bible? Listen, can I sit by you during church? I want to show you how to sing the hymns. Amen? That's a welcome ministry. How about the Reformers Anonymous Addictions Ministry? How about getting there where you start to have compassion on some very broken people? Some of us are messed up. But some of them never have been ever told that they are loved. How about joining in the music and choir ministry? I can't sing. We know. Maybe you can play an instrument. Or maybe John could help you sing. Amen. How about joining in the Sunday school ministry? See, I can't teach. Well, you could help. You could hold up a picture while Miss Nita tells a story. Amen. Good story, huh? You would enjoy, you know what, some of you adults, you'd enjoy Sunday school more than the kids, amen, if you got in there, amen. How about discipleship? You need to get discipled and then start saying, I want to get discipled, I want to learn the Word of God so I can help somebody else learn the Word of God. I want to become a discipler. I want to do what Jesus told us to do. I don't want to just sit on my Todd week after week after week and think I know some things when I don't know how to answer anybody. I want to learn some answers. I want to get into discipleship. I want to get into the crash. Now, not everybody's going to say that. Somebody needs to say, those ladies need a break. It's nice and quiet in here, isn't it? You can thank the crash workers for that. I love kids, and if we didn't have a crash, I'd be glad for everyone. I'm screaming, crawling, spitting up the whole thing. Amen. But it's nice to have a crash. Amen. Some of you ladies, well, you know, I'm crash, you know. Get over it. Get over it. Some of you ladies can help out. Seriously, all of you ladies should sign up. Maybe you won't be in the crash, but you need to be willing. Amen. Men aren't qualified. Amen. End of story. We'll kill the kids. Amen. So, ladies, don't you sit there and say, well, I can't. Do it. Do it. There need to be 15 signatures on that crash list. Soul winning ministry. You say, I'm so busy on Saturday. right. I bet you lie in other areas of your life too. You know what you can do? Get some things done in the morning so you can come out for an hour and a half, and then you can get back to doing your thing Saturday afternoon. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I can't talk. Go with me. I'll do the talking. All right? You just sit there and smile.
So will Nita.
Yeah, amen. Carry the tracks. Amen. You know what will happen after about 3 weeks? The fourth week, you go, can I talk now? Church activity planning, man, just say, wow, we had a great getaway there. We'll be back there on October 31st. We went out to Killarney. I bet we could go here and have another one. We need some planners. We need some people who can put some feminine touches on these things. Guys come up with plans, but it's like metal, amen? We need some ladies who can help plan and make the thing sweet and nice and enjoyable and the food is good, amen? Transportation ministry, just make yourself available. Say, Pastor, if you ever need somebody to be picked up from Cork City or Glanmire or Northside, I got 3 places in my car. I come every Sunday and it's alone. If I can be used, could you use me? That's the ministry. But I need to know you're available. Amen. And one more, church office. It's more than just typing. Brother Brother Romalo, Brother Claudio, I couldn't think of his name. I'm going to call him Rob. It's not Rob. Anyway, Brother Claudio back there. I mean, we do a lot with the audio. We put it on the web. We trying to get things more organized. He's such a blessing. There's a lot of work that you could help out with. When we get ready to go into that room, would you stay and linger for a little while? Don't just rush off. If you rush off, shame on you. I wish I could bolt the door and say 15 minutes. But just do a scan around. Walk around. You know what we got? We got sweets at every table. There's, I'm sorry to say, but there are Ferrero shakes. M&M's. There's peanut M&M's. There's licorice. There's M&M's again. There are toffees. There are, listen, I'm telling you, there are sweets at every stand. Go and sample each. Not by the handful. Would you linger for a little while and say, God, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen? Hey, I say, would you do this? If we're gonna reach Cork, and we can't reach them all, but we're going to try. I need some people to try to be the best servants ever, not the best leaders, the best servants. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, be servant of all. We need some real servants. And always only for souls. I do it that I might gain, that I might win, that I might see a soul saved. Let's stand, let's bow in prayer. Are you free? Has Jesus Christ made you free? Well, praise God. But if you're not free, if you're not saved this morning, today's the day to get saved. What a waste. If you've heard all of this and you've heard so many other messages and you've never once said to Jesus Christ, I'm lost. I know I deserve hell. I don't want to go to hell. I discovered that Jesus wants to make me free. I ask to be free now. I want to be free from the penalty of my sin. I want to go to heaven when I die. Would you save my lost soul? You need to pray that. You need to mean with all your heart. You need to ask God to save you today if you're not born again. What a waste. If you walk out of here and some idiot crosses the road and smashes into you and sends you into a Christless eternity. When you had the chance today to get saved, don't you go out of here lost. If you are saved, don't you tell the devil, I don't care if people go to hell. Don't you tell the devil that. Because the moment you walk out of here and you don't care about having a ministry, you're saying to the devil, I don't care if people go to hell. But if you do care, if you have the smallest amount of care, will you help? Let God put you in a ministry. Father, please bless. As we make this commitment today. In Jesus' name, amen.